Everyone except...
Except the one you're looking at. Yeah.
You don't have a smartphone?
No, I have a dumb phone.
But when I bought a smartphone, I really became much smarter. Even I found a smartphone is more smarter than me.
No, I have okay, a dumb anyway. Phone, so I get dumber.
Yeah. Okay, so before we begin, I'm just going to share with you a couple of resources. One of the resources is, I don't know if you've heard of Torah Anytime.
What is it?
TorahAnytime.com used to be just a website. You have internet?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I got forced into that. So.
Okay, excellent. So TorahAnytime.com is a website online. They have Shirim classes, which are uploaded, multiple classes, like hundreds of classes are uploaded daily to the website. They are uploaded with audio and with video. You can choose either to listen just to the audio, and you can download them to listen to them offline as well, or you can watch the whole class online with video. They are on a variety of topics, like any topic you're interested in.
Who sponsors that?
You do. I mean, when you start listening to it, and they ask for a collection, and they say, hey, click donate, then it will be you.
Who would think? Yes.
This is for English learners.
So that's exactly what I wanted to say. So they started. It started just as a website, and then they developed an app for it. And the app is a very nice app. You can type in you can set up an account, and you can follow different speakers, and they'll send you an email with as soon as your favorite speaker uploads a new class and you share, then you can just click on there. They'll send you an email, and you can listen to it straight away. Now,
but text.
So.
There is different. I believe there is different text about only listening.
There's no text. There's no.
There's no reading.
No, there's no articles on Torah Anytime.
So only listening.
It's only listening. Now, what they do have is on the app. If you go into settings, you can choose your languages, and you can select Russian in there, and then. You can look there, and you have a whole load of Russian classes as well. This is Russian.
It means not translated, or somebody speaks Russian?
Let's listen.
This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Доброе утро вам всем. Мы продолжаем учить с вами тему насчет того, что люди становятся евреями.
This is someone translating English to Russian?
No.
Талмуде написана интересная вещь.
Russian-speaking rabbi.
Талмуд Масехет Кедушин, страница 70.
Yep. So you can select your Russian classes there as well.
No, I have a lot of sites with only Russian.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that Barry could get full use of that from his desktop. I bet he doesn't need a smartphone.
He can, absolutely. So that is a wonderful, wonderful resource. They have people are listening to millions of hours of Torah Anytime every year.
Who puts this out?
The organization is called Torah Anytime, and they have
it's
an independent organization. They have hundreds of cameras and recorders, and you know they sponsor the cameras. They have they do live streaming at large events as well. It's a really, really wonderful website. So that's resource number one.
This is a question: who is speaker?
Who speakers? So the speakers are they scour the Torah world for the best speakers. And the speakers are not only good speakers; they've checked them out. Yeah, they're not just going to upload anyone. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry. There's no Torah Anytime camera watching me
here. Stuff.
Sorry. So firstly, they've been checked out to check that they're actually good speakers and they've got good stuff to share. And also. Thank you very much. And also, well, that's one point. The second point is to verify that they are actually authentic and the sharing Torah ideas, and that they, you know, can be relied upon as well. So one, that they're good speakers, and two, that they're reliable, you know, in terms of Torah sources.
Not just any Reuven Shimon
or Robert.
Reuven Shimon or
George.
No, it's a good speaker. This is important thing. Yesterday was a very smart guy, but his English, I did not understand any word. Yesterday we invited one rabbi.
Where were you invited yesterday? Speaker.
For yesterday.
Yesterday?
Did you hear him?
This rabbi?
Yeah. Not now, our rabbi, but rabbi. What is his name?
Rabbi Kaufman.
Kaufman. He's saying, I cannot follow his saying. This is so difficult.
His English?
Yeah.
Really? The language, the vocabulary, or
no vocabulary, but it's not clear.
Uh-huh.
But like most speakers in English, they speak too soft. Maybe they don't separate the words.
Yeah.
I'm separating them now. They don't enunciate. They just
okay. Well, I hope I speak.
No, but this is what I do.
All right. Anyway, resource number two is
they weren't to do that in yeshiva. The yeshiva world, people speak much too fast, and they slur, and they run it all together.
All right, so really what I'm saying to you now is the second reason.
Thank you.
No, but I understand almost everything in Mao Rabbi when you're talking, but sometimes some people talk stuff.
I apologize. Resource number two. Mr. Steinberg is waiting for resource number two. Resource number two is that CRC, which is
that's the Canadian
Chemical Rubber Company.
Chicago Rabbinical
Chicago.
Council.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Chicago.
I believe.
Sorry. Yeah, that sounds right.
The CRC have produced, for Mr. Steinberg, the CRC has a website. And on the website, they have lots and lots and lots of information about kashrus.
That's CRC?
CRC.
Dot.
Let me check that for you.
How did you know? You should
get
too young.
No, Kashrus.
They published all.
I understood yesterday. It's so complicated.
CRC Web.
Oh, CRC Web.
.org.
Org. Not to be confused.
I have to say that the website is doesn't seem to have that much on there. But for those of us that have one of these, the CRC have an app. Okay, and the CRC, it's called CRC Kosher Guide, and it has over here a bunch of different sections. The first section you'll notice here is brachas. Okay, and they have every food under the sun. You want to know what the bracha is on cornbread?
Yeah.
Recite the bracha of hamotzi before eating and birkas hamazon afterwards.
Oh, they tell you what to do before and what afterwards. So there's no question.
Yep. You want to know what the bracha is of cream with fruit? Recite the bracha of ha'etz before eating and berei nefashos afterwards. What was the jackfruit we asked last time? Yeah.
Ooh.
What was that? Someone was asking about jackfruit.
What's that? I never heard of it.
No, yes.
Last week, someone ask something?
Sabra.
Sabra. Yeah.
Sabra proposal.
Okay, whatever. Well, we found that already.
I'm not sure if you found it.
Yeah, so they includes all of the cereals as well. Yeah. So the cereals, which
but
can be sometimes quite questionable.
But this is
okay, try,
like Kellogg's.
Try Cheerios.
Who makes them?
No, but again,
General Mills.
You can you can check by yourself. This is
too. You can check by yourself.
But the question is, they have all food. You can check what is brocha. But this is one side. It's my question, general question. We go to another side. The same thing. The brocha will be the same or not?
So this is because it was Chicago, we live in Boston.
Maybe
It's a good question.
What is called Boston accent?
Boston.
There is Boston accent.
And the answer is that sometimes you'll find that it may vary, based on the rules. So there's a lot of machlokes. There are a lot of things which are under dispute, and one rabbi will decide paskin that the halacha is like that, and another one will paskin the halacha is like this. The CRC kosher guide is accepted and acceptable as the definitive guide when it comes to kashrus. Yeah, when it comes to brachas, okay, that's another question. But certainly when it comes to kashrus,
you see, this is a reliable source.
Yeah.
Regarding medicines on Pesach, they usually say it can take anything because others are more specific, more.
Pesach is another list. This doesn't include the Pesach, but what it does include over here is also it has a section called food. Yeah, and this section of food basically goes through all of the different food products, yeah, raw materials, and cooked materials, and it tells you whether they need to have hashgacha. Okay, this was what the rabbi was discussing yesterday. So they decide, they have over here, whether they need to have hashgacha. For example, black pepper. Ground, chopped, powdered, or whole are recommended even without hashgacha.
Really?
Okay, and it goes through all of the broccoli. Requires kosher certification. See fruit and vegetables list. Okay, what's that? So then you have a section here called fruit and vegetables. Fruits, herbs and spices, nuts and seeds, vegetables, yeah? And it will tell you what you have to do with different fruits, right? For example, blackberries, fresh blackberries. Status, not recommended.
That's how it says. It doesn't say why.
With worms inside.
Yeah. Apricots, does not need to be checked for insect infestation.
But I saw a little red mark on the right there.
That was a different thing. Barley, raw barley. Barley may become infested at the food warehouse, retail store, or even one's own home due to prevailing conditions such as humidity, temperature, and other insect infestation. As such, one should make a cursory inspection of the barley before purchasing, if possible. And before use, the barley should be placed in a bowl of cold water for a short time to remove any possible insects. Okay? So they basically have gone through all of the food products that you could possibly need to know about, and they tell you whether they're kosher without certification, whether they need certification, and what sort of, if it's fruit and vegetables, what sort of checking it needs.
Okay, yeah? Try licorice.
What's the question?
But the question, we're going to talk about the main subject or only to talk about that?
This is just
an advertisement.
What's the question? What's your problem?
This is an advertisement.
An advertisement?
Yes.
What time our lesson is over?
This is a commercial.
What time do you want it to be over?
No, usually we end of 10 o'clock, yeah?
Okay. Before 10 o'clock?
No, before 10 o'clock. Now I'm going to be home 10 o'clock or not?
What time do you need to leave? You tell me what time you need to leave
10.
And we'll leave. You need to leave at 10?
Not 10 o'clock.
I have another 50 minutes? Unbelievable. We usually don't. The whole class doesn't go longer than 50 minutes.
Time for another commercial.
No. Well, it's okay.
No,
it's okay.
Usually we start 9. We have class 1 hour.
50 minutes.
48
minutes.
No, but now 50 minutes after this commercial can be 1.5 hour.
If you're not interested in this, fine.
I thought it would be something
interesting.
No, but this is very interesting, but I think you said so you can find something, because this is, if you check now every food, it takes 2 hours or 3 hours. You are going to check every food.
I'm not checking every food. I was just showing you an example on every list,
it is the same thing. It's a good example. Why one example or two examples?
I was showing you two examples, because one was an example of something where it said doesn't require thing, and another one of saying more detailed of how to go about and check it. That's why I did That's why I did two.
No, but I agree with you. This is a nice source, but I agree. If you most interesting to go to see all examples, fine. A fine question to ask you, because this is interesting to everyone. It's interesting to investigate what is this source.
Okay.
What's having said
that, I'm not sure what you what.
No, but your point, there is some source. You can go to see. If you don't understand something, ask me. Because you cannot cover all of this problem with these sides.
Okay, if that's how you understood what I was doing. What I was doing was actually just sharing with you a couple of resources.
Nope.
You were asking last week about if there is a comprehensive list of brachas. So I was showing you that there is an app which has a comprehensive list. Agav, yeah, as an aside, I digress as well, that the fact that the app also has another wealth of tremendous wealth of other resources as well, which can aid and assist a Jew in his Shemiras HaMitzvahs. If you're interested in Shemiras HaMitzvahs, you're interested in what the app can provide for you, both in Kashras and also in Brachas, yeah, then wonderful. I'm just showing you what this app can do and how powerful this app is in terms of helping you keep mitzvahs. You want to just learn the theory? Fine, learn the theory.
Before you move on, can you send us an email when you have a chance with the URLs for these apps?
Sure.
What's the good? This idea to send the email to show how to use. If you go to internet, I found another 25 or 100 different sources
about
everything.
Just a few links.
Okay. Yeah. The CRC app is the number one app. Yeah, I was just sharing with you a resource. Okay, Torah Anytime is also one. The CRC Souls app is a number one app in Kashrus. Yeah, the Torah Anytime app is a number one app in terms of Shurim. I wanted to share those two resources with you.
No, it's a good resource, but you are sure this is number one?
Yes.
Who else is sure?
Everyone.
What interesting.
The CRC app is absolutely accepted. Yeah, I want to show you a few other resources as well that you should know as well. You should know from the app. I apologize. I don't have the time to write a long email explaining in detail.
Yeah, no detail, only link.
Well, I can tell you the link, fine. But okay. But if you're not going to know what to do with the app and you're not going to know how it works.
These guys are young. When you get to be my age, you don't remember the link that someone tells you.
Right. I'm happy to share that.
That's
with
why
you.
I wrote it down.
Would it be okay if I'm happy to make the class shorter? I'm not planning. I was planning on. I set the class to start up already now because I figured that other people, possibly if they're listening, would also be interested in these resources. I usually don't go longer than 50 minutes. 50, 55, I think, might be the longest. I'm going to be finishing then. Are you interested in hearing a couple more things that are included on the app as well?
Okay.
Yeah?
The only thing is that I have to be home for Mincha.
Okay. Now, a couple of other things is that it has a section here called kashering. Yeah? You want to kasher your liver. No, it's not food kashering. Kashering of utensils. Yeah, you want to kasher your toaster oven. How do you kasher a toaster oven? How do you kasher a kettle?
It may differ
for Pesach, it may differ for the rest of the year. How do you kasher a spoon that you dipped in a thing?
That's in that same site?
The same app. The same application?
Afraid. The same app. So over here we have a coffee maker.
Yeah.
Status, may not be kashered for Passover. This includes Keurig machines for year-round kashering instructions, and it gives you a link for what to do that.
And what is that little red mark down?
The red mark means to share.
Oh, okay.
Within the social media generation, we have a concept of sharing. Sharing is caring. With this button, I can immediately send this page, this piece of information, to anyone in
as
the entire world.
As opposed to having to copy it and send. Okay.
So they have all the food processor. Yeah, food processor with exposed motor areas. Food processor with a sealed motor area. Yeah, basically anything you want to kasher, it has information on how to kasher it. Glasses used for drinking. So if used with hot beverages, washed in it, right? So it goes into detail about how to kasher. You don't want to hear any details, fine. Okay, that's the next section. The other section is liquor. Yeah, kosher liquors. Then there's non-food items. Okay. Barbecue wood chips. Yeah, silver polish, soap pads. Yeah, includes Brillo pads, acceptable without certification, as the rabbi said yesterday. Okay. Then we have the over-the-counter medicine list, which is very important. Yeah, over-the-counter medicine list. So cold and flu, you've got all of the list of Alka-Seltzer, cold easy, and all the list of the different medicines which are either acceptable or unacceptable.
These are supervised or
Not necessarily supervised.
Could be
not necessarily supervised. They're certified. There's a difference between supervised and certified in kashrus, right? You know the difference between supervised and certified?
No.
Certified is
that we've checked all of the ingredients. Yeah, we've checked everything and we've checked the process and we certify that everything is kosher.
As opposed to supervised
means we have actually supervised this production.
You've been at the plant.
Supervision of the production doesn't necessarily mean going in every week. It doesn't necessarily mean watching it for the entirety of the production process, but there's the concept of popping in and out. Yeah, that's also considered supervision.
So when I see a Hechel, like an OU on a product, does that mean supervised or certified or both?
That means it's supervised.
That means supervised.
I believe that means it's supervised. When you see something without a Hechel, yeah, but it's on the CRC list, then it means it's certified. The London-based in, I don't know if any other kashrus organizations do this, but the London-based in has two different types of hechshers. Yeah, and one of them is a supervised hechsher, and one of them is a certified hechsher.
I've never heard anyone distinguish.
Yeah, so these are things.
No, but this is in a restaurant, somebody supervised process.
Restaurants usually have a mashgiach tamidi, yeah, a supervisor who is there constantly, who is there the entire time, or he's there first thing in the morning to turn the fires on and to turn the ovens on. Okay, then we have a section called recommended kosher symbols. This is very, very, very important. Yeah, when you're shopping and you see a funny thing that looks like it's a kosher symbol, right? It's kosher, right? Yeah, it's kosher. No, there are a lot of phony kashrus organizations out there. A lot of cowboy organizations, charlatans, yeah, who make up.
But this is official. They have official.
Right, label. And you know what I can do? I can also officially put on, you know, a picture of Mickey Mouse with a K in it in the middle of it. Right, doesn't mean that it's kosher. It means that I've convinced this production company to put my Mickey Mouse picture on it. That's what it means.
It's not every kosher sign is kosher.
Not every kosher sign is kosher.
But they believe they're kosher.
No. They believe that they want to make money.
I believe. They want to go to the market.
And they can go to and they take a minimal, not even a minimal, a less than minimal level of kosher, or they do something, you know, do whatever they do. They're not supervising, they're not doing anything. Yeah, but they've sold this the thing. Yeah, there are kashrus organizations, some of them which are very, very well known as well. Yeah, Triangle K. Triangle K, you've seen a Triangle K, Hebrew National. You've heard of Hebrew National, the sausages? There's a treif. Hebrew National is not kosher.
Hebrew National is not kosher?
What?
It's not kosher?
It has a Triangle K. It's supervised by Triangle K. But I have from a very... I mean, no one eats. In the religious circle, no one eats Triangle K. That's the first proof. And secondly, I have a very close friend who spoke to a sheikhet who was doing shechita for Hebrew National. And he said, he himself, he did tshuva since... Yeah, he did repentance since he worked for Hebrew National, but he gave testimony that basically everything there is the process of production of kashrus production is so far below the standards of what is acceptable to for us to be eaten that it can't be called kosher. Yeah, but yeah, hey, it's got a Triangle K. It must be kosher.
Because if you don't know.
And if you don't know, then you go, you know, you go and look, and you go, you're in Stop and Shop, and you see on broccoli, yeah, broccoli, which is highly infested, highly infested. It has to be grown very, very in a very specific bug-free environment. And if it's not grown in a bug-free environment, then it's infested beyond being able to be checked. Yeah. So you have these frozen broccoli, and they've got a tablet K sign on it, or some like interesting K things on these things, which we know cannot be checked. Yeah, those are not kosher.
Even they're frozen. But frozen is usually kill everything.
Because we've had
it kills
fish.
Everything, but it's still there.
We've seen.
Right, you can't have an alive fly. You also can't have a dead fly. Freeze drying is something different. Something which has been freeze dried, that halacha says that it's been because the process of freeze drying basically disintegrates anything that was alive would have just fallen apart. That's why we would have freeze dried strawberries. Yeah,
okay.
inside Kellogg's Special K or something. Then freeze dried strawberries that are in there are acceptable.
It's
because freeze dried is okay because it disintegrates the bugs.
Yeah, but just because it's frozen, the bugs are still are frozen inside there. Even worse.
So you have frozen bugs.
Yes, frozen bugs.
And
so
frozen
you have
bugs is also forbidden.
But yes.
It means if there is no bugs, there is no insects, it means doesn't make a difference whether it's alive or dead.
If there's no bugs, then you can have it whether it's frozen or not. If there's bugs, then freezing it doesn't make a difference. So the rabbi was saying yesterday, I don't know if you caught, but he was saying yesterday that one of his pet peeves is when you have kashrus organizations that say this thing is kosher, but it's not fit for consumption yet, which I've seen.
What does that
mean? So he's saying that sometimes they will certify. Sometimes you'll see this. They'll certify lettuce, romaine lettuce or kale, or they have all of these lettuce, and they've got a big kosher stamp in the corner, yeah. Underneath the kosher stamp, it will say
little writing in Hebrew.
It will say this kashrus, this certification, does not cover the potential possibility of infestation.
So, but you have to understand.
So what did you do?
So
what did you add with the lettuce?
It
doesn't
mean 90% kosher.
No, it means 0% kosher. Lettuce doesn't need hashgacha. You know, lettuce doesn't need certification. The only thing about lettuce that needs certification is infestation.
No.
So you're putting on a hechsher, you're adding zero. You're not doing anything.
Not only that, but you're making it confusing for people.
You're making it very confusing. So these people that are putting a hechsher on broccoli, and they're not supervising a washing process, or they're not supervising a special growing process, yeah? It's basically a Mickey Mouse kashrus, a Mickey Mouse hashgacha.
And especially if you put it in Hebrew.
So you have to learn, and this is something I can't stress enough, it is so important, to use only hashgachas which are actually real hashgachas. Yeah, real hashgachas.
Because I get Kashrus magazine, and annually they put out
Kashrus alerts.
But they have the list of all the kashrus organizations.
Yeah.
Some of which may not be, not all of which are reliable.
Yeah.
But all they're telling you is this is who this is, and that's what that is. But if asked, they would say check with your rabbi.
Right.
As to how reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is something which is so important.
But broccoli can be washed at home.
Well, let's see.
No, but why is not the trust people who can check?
We had it was a couple years ago.
Broccoli, fresh broccoli. Status not recommended. It is very impractical and close to impossible for the average consumer to properly check fresh or frozen broccoli. It is therefore highly recommended that only product with a reliable hashgacha be used. Broccoli stems may be used without checking after rinsing with water. Okay? You want to check broccoli? Call up the CRC and ask them how to do it. But they're telling you it's impractical and close to impossible for the average consumer to properly check broccoli, which means, what it means is that if you would find a method, yeah, you would try and you would try very hard, then afterwards, after you've gone through your method, you will inspect and open up the florets and open up the leaves, you will find bugs. That's what it means by this. Yeah, very impractical and close to impossible.
But I don't know why they sell. It means for people who is not care about kosher, eat broccoli.
Not for people who don't care about broccoli. It's for the guy from the Mickey Mouse Kashrus organization make money.
No, but I ask you for if somebody is not Jewish.
Someone who's not Jewish, he doesn't see broccoli.
Broccoli infested. It means he. This problem.
He's eating bugs. But he doesn't care.
But everybody care about bugs. Even you is not Jewish. Why?
Well, if I make a statement, this food
has bugs, who is going to eat it?
We had a class a couple years ago.
They wash them, and I can't see them, and whatever you can't see.
It means most of people eat bugs.
100%. 100,000%. Yeah? Open up a pack of lettuce. Any pack of lettuce. Open up. We once had a pack of fresh herbs. Yeah? We got fresh herbs when we first moved to America. We thought, hey, let's buy some fresh herbs, and we can check the herbs. Yeah? We saw with our eyes. Yeah, there were thrips and there were aphids, little things. Yeah, that were squirming around inside the package, the fresh herbs. Yeah, we got a lettuce. We got a cauliflower. Yeah, a white cauliflower. I had to take off. This is no exaggeration. I had to take off 10 layers of leaves. The first 10 layers of leaves had bugs that were moving around.
No, but this is what people do, is they want to clean, to wash.
Okay. Is that what's happening?
No, but I grow.
Is that how people do their cauliflower? Do their cabbage? What do they do in a restaurant with cabbage? They take a whole cabbage and they take a very sharp knife and they go
No, restaurant probably doesn't check anything, but at home you can.
Everyone's eating bugs. The point is, everyone is eating bugs. Everyone is eating bugs. I found in a salad once a caterpillar like that.
Wow.
It would have been a nice little, very sweet, you know, chewy little bit in my salad.
You can return this food.
No, you can't.
It's not allowed.
There's no guarantee.
To sell you.
They don't guarantee that there's no bugs in there.
Only when it says specifically this check does not need washing. That's bodek.
I mean, no, this is you're talking halachically.
Yeah.
Yeah? Even triple wash. Yeah, this stuff he was saying yesterday, the stuff that is that says on the box, triple washed. Open up the clam box. He's not even saying, you know, do it through a silk cloth and, you know, do it up against a light box. He's saying, look inside the box, you'll see bugs. Triple washed. Now, the consumer either doesn't care or he's blind. But it doesn't. The halacha is obviously going to be much more strict than just, hey, ich, I don't want to eat bugs. What? It's not a question of, ich, I don't want to eat bugs. If there's little bugs hiding in there, which I can't get out, yeah, ask someone, ask a consumer. Yeah, a regular, secular consumer. Yeah, there are tiny, weeny, tiny, tiny little bugs. You can see them, but they're tiny, weeny little aphids that are hiding out inside your broccoli floret. You can't get it out. It's like impossible to get it out. Would you eat it? What's your standard? 99% of your consumers are going to say,
I can't see it, so why not?
No, but most of people boil something after boiling. So now you have.
Okay, it's boiled and now it's cooked. You have boiled bugs. That's still treif.
But boiled bugs are still bugs.
Yes. One of the principles, why? Usually we say bittel, right? We say something is nullified. Yeah, there's a concept of nullification. 1 in 60, right? If a little splash of milk falls into your big pot of chicken soup, kosher, 100% kosher, yeah? Why? Because we say as long as there's 60 parts of the chicken soup against the one part of the milk, yeah, then we say it's nullified, it's bittel. It's called bittel b'shishim. Yeah, why is it 60, 1 part in 60? Because 1 part in 60 is the number which Chazal have set. Yeah, the rabbis have set that this is the level that one can taste it. Yeah, any less than 1 part in 60, you're not going to be able to taste it, and the taste of something is what is forbidden, what's prohibited. There are other areas of kosher and not kosher where it's not dependent on the taste, but in most areas of kashrus, it's the taste. So 1 in 60 is going to be nullified. However, there are a list of things which are never nullified. One of them, as an easy example to warm you up, is something which is called avida de taima, which means that you put it in there for flavor. For example, salt. Yeah, you put in a little sprinkle of salt in your chicken soup. It's definitely less than 1 part in 60, maybe 1 part in hundreds, but you taste the salt. So if that salt would be not kosher, however it would be, yeah, then it's not going to be nullified. Because even though there's 60 parts of the chicken soup against that one part, yeah, but it's still there for the flavor. You put it in there for the flavor. Yeah. Another thing is when you have something which is so chashuv, so important, so considerable, yeah, even though it's a tiny weeny tiny portion, but it's something which is so considerable, is never nullified.
What do you mean?
One of the examples of this is a beria, which means a complete item, yeah, a complete object, a complete insect, a complete bug. You have a whole bug in there, that's a whole bug. Yeah, a whole bug? Whole bug's not nullified.
Would you call it beria?
A beria. Beria means a creature or a creation. Yeah, like a bria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have a whole beria, a complete creature in there, that's never going to be nullified. Even if you'd have 1,000 pieces there. Yeah, why? You've got to take the thing out. It's too considerable. You've got a whole bug in there. That's not going to be nullified. Yeah. So.
It means what nullifies? It means there is a bug in it. You cannot eat.
If there's a bug in it, the whole thing is treif. Yeah. You saw
even
a fly.
You've removed.
You saw a fly fall into your chicken soup.
Yeah.
It got cooked up with your whole chicken soup. You've lost the fly. Yeah, there's no way it flew out. It's definitely in there somewhere, but you lost the fly. The whole pot of chicken soup is treif.
Really?
It's not nullified. If you found the fly and you took it out,
and
yeah, the whole chicken soup was cooked together with a fly. Yeah, so there was fly in there. So think. So there's one in 60. Yeah, it's bottle. It's nullified. But as long as you wouldn't eat it. Oh yeah, of course you would. Come on, a whole pot vat of chicken soup and a fly falls into
a vat.
No, but
a vat you would.
I don't know.
No. If fell on your
60 is the same as pay.
We're going to eat it.
Yeah, take it out, then it's gone. Then it's nullified. But while it's in there, it's there.
Adds protein.
It's too chashuv. It's too important. But the protein is treif.
Protein.
And the protein is maybe healthy for your body, but it's not healthy for your soul. It's poison for your neshama.
Protein?
Protein. He said.
Protein, this is chemical. It doesn't make difference. It's protein from...
It's treif protein.
There is no treif protein.
So cooking doesn't make a difference. The average consumer would say, it's cooked, who cares? Yeah, it's finished. But we... who care for our neshamas, who believe that kashrus is not just a question of health concerns, right? The old days, that's when they, you know, that's when kosher applied, right? Why can't you eat pork? Yeah, because a pig is the dirtiest of animals, right? Rolling around in the mud, it's a dirty animal, it's unclean. Now, we've proven that pigs are actually the cleanest of animals. Yeah. So now it's kosher, right? Meat and milk. Yeah, dairy, because you've got the protein, you've got the milk, it's not healthy, it's not digested as well. Yeah, but now we know in certain quantities it is digested fine. So meat and milk is out the window. Yeah, I'm not, this sounds like a joke, but there are strands of Judaism that believe this. Yeah, they believe in these principles, and therefore, what have they done? They've thrown out the whole of kashrus. Yeah. In a way, in a way, they're right. They are right in a way. Yeah, the kashrus is about health, but not the right type of health. They believe it's about physical health. We say 100% right that it is about health, but not physical health, spiritual health. Yeah, we believe. Yeah, just like they were saying that pork is unhealthy, it's going to give you a disease. They say, yes, it will give you a disease. It'll give you a neshama disease. It's poison for your neshama. You wouldn't drink a pill of cyanide, yeah, because it's going to kill you, because it's poisonous. So too for your neshama.
On the other hand,
you're not going to have broccoli, which is unchecked, yeah, because there is a tiny weeny speck of cyanide in there. Cyanide for your neshama.
Now, what about stuff that's kosher but harmful to you, physically harmful?
Well, we already saw you don't make a bracha on it.
You don't make a bracha on something that's harmful.
That we saw, oil, right? Oil you don't make a bracha on. If you're having it by itself, because that's mazik, that's harmful. Ah, Richard. Oh. And here we have this is our kashrus expert right here.
But ask him if he knows this is application.
Of course he knows CRC.
Who is
the CRC accepted by?
Who are they accepted by?
I mean, who accepts the CRC in terms of the worldwide religious community?
Who holds by them?
95% of all Jews hold by the CRC, you know?
If you would say one application, one app, or one organization that would be the number one app to have in terms of kashrus, what would it be?
CRC or Star-K, but...
Star-K. COR sometimes for some things as well. Yeah, but the most inclusive that is... You know, does Star-K have an app?
Canadian.
I'm not sure what
they have.
What exactly
they have information they online.
There's
plenty of stuff. No, but this is 95%. It's really cover everything. Yeah, I believe there is.
And by the way, we don't mean 95% of Jews. Yeah, I don't think the.
So we're talking 99% of.
99.9% of Jews. Yeah, 95% of. Of you know, from Haredi, ultra Orthodox.
No, but. There are different books, there is different
Hasidishka.
I would not surprise if we have 100 different sources.
There are many different sources, but as the rabbi was saying, you know, what did he say? That you have, you know, one guy, you know, says I didn't eat your hashgacha, and the other guy, the other hashgacha, you know, this one doesn't eat, and then the third hashgacha, none of us eat, and then the fourth hashgacha, no one eats.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Well, because they tell.
Yeah, so it's going to be true. Yeah, there is always going to be that percentile that don't accept it, but there aren't many apps. Yeah, there aren't many organizations, kashrus organizations, authorities, which are acceptable by 95%.
Let me put it this way. Anybody who would use an app on a phone, it's probably, we're talking 99%.
Yeah.
Ah, but this is, you can download from the Play Store, this application, in smartphone.
It's a Play Store, yeah.
You can go to
Play Store.
Play Store.
Yeah.
And to download this application. Yeah. Oh, simple.
Yeah, not complex. Anyway, so so as I was saying over here, that we have over here a list of recommended kosher symbols. Mm-hmm. Because you have a lot of kosher symbols which have a picture of a Mickey Mouse with a K in the middle of it, which is essentially an organization, a kashrus organization, which are there just to make money. CRC Kosher Guide.
CIC.
CRC.
CRC.
Chicago Rabbinical Council.
CRC.
CRC. If you type in CRC in the Play Store, it will come up.
As opposed to the Brooklyn CRC.
If you type in Torah Anytime, it will also come up.
It's also Torah Anytime, also application?
It's also an app, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You saw the app. You saw it right here.
Yeah.
This is Torah Anytime. I showed it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to email the link to that for you. You don't have to write it down.
No, but this is for publications.
You want to write it down, fine, write it down.
There is no any link.
There's a link. I can send you a link to the app as well to download from the Play Store.
Well, if you send the link, they'll have the button, something you can click on to get the app.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make link to applications.
Well, you click on it. He'll
send if you open up the email from your phone and you click on there, it will take you to the Play Store.
Ah, okay. But you send... Okay.
I'll send you the link. No, anyway, so this is a very, very important list. This list of recommended kosher symbols. Because if you're... I mean, especially if you're out of town... Yeah, out of town, they don't necessarily get the generic mainstream hashgachas. They get, you get a little bit of here and there. They don't have a kosher grocery store. They don't have, so they'll go to a regular store. And I'm a part of a group of rabbis who are rabbis in like all over the world. And some of them are in the middle of nowhere. We actually have a specific group for hashgachas and hechsherim. Yeah, this one says, what's this, I don't know, it looked like there was a conversation. Yeah, someone asked, what about this? Yeah, this hashgacha here.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone was buying something or other, and they've got an Earth K symbol. Yeah, what is that? Is that kosher? So first thing is, you look at the CRC app, and you see it's not on the CRC app. Yeah, first thing is, you look at the CRC app. If it's on the CRC app, yeah, it's 100% kosher, 100% reliable, 100% accepted. Yeah, 100%. Look, they've even got their own Hechsher there on the list. Yeah, but what do they also have? Very nice.
What is not kosher?
OU is on there. Mm. Nothing not kosher.
No, but U is kosher.
Oregon kosher here. Mm.
That was Rabbi Krems.
Okay, Nitra Monsi.
Yeah, that's the other CO. There's another CRC.
It's so many different.
These are, they're from all over the world. This is from California. This is Greater Washington.
This is
Rabbinate Kahal Yarei in Paris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got international as well. Yeah, Triangle K.
Triangle K.
Texas K. Diamond K. So yeah, you won't see Triangle K.
Won't see Triangle K.
Triangle K, it's on something.
MK. Montreal.
Diamond.
Crown Heights.
That's Diamond.
Scroll K.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver.
So who's that? That's
Denver. Bada Cash is in Denver. Mm-hmm. There's a nice one down here as well. See this?
What is it?
It's cut off for some reason.
Yeah.
But you open up that, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Recognize that one?
I think I recognize it.
Incidentally.
KVH.
Just for your information.
That's him.
That's
the KVH. This is the Boston Vad.
What's missing?
Just for your information.
Yeah.
My father, Sean, was responsible for that
old label.
Yeah, yeah. That Rabbi Kaufman works for the KVH. That's what he does.
My father was responsible.
KVH. You see this on a few products. Bread. In Stop and Shop,
local food.
It's a local organization, yeah? So you have this one, OV, you have to be very careful. OV, you have to be very careful because vegan are starting now to have a symbol which is
Whenever I see that, I always look, where is the product manufactured? And if I see, Missouri, St.
What you should do, yeah.
But
yeah,
if you exactly. see and it's California, as the rabbi was saying about
then
the red flags,
right.
It doesn't mean that...
Why are they going over to
it's
California?
Not,
yeah.
It means that it's a... It's probably
can't
not...
Can't they sue
the,
or something?
So if you... First thing you do, when you see a hashgacha, the first thing you do is, what is this? Do I know this? Is this kosher? Is it a Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, that's how do you find out if it is? You look at this.
So you look at this. You look at the list.
And how many hashgacha symbols are in that?
How many hashgacha symbols? Here.
You sure you're gonna find it?
You can count.
Oh, so I'm not on that list.
Just a second. That's
a problem.
Okay, that's the first 100. Yeah.
Not to have.
This is the list.
That's the second 100.
You're gonna go through it, and you're not gonna be sure whether you missed it or not. It might be.
No, I mean you're not gonna go so fast. So you're not going to go
missing.
So fast.
No, you know what's missing? Seriously.
But
what's missing is the app. Here's a chance to...
This is an idea.
What's missing is the app. Like right now you can scan fingerprints, you can scan iris.
A picture of the...
picture.
You scan
Someone.
And it comes Lev up, could do it that. Comes up with what it is.
Lev could do that for this
Google
app.
Google recognize any picture.
Yeah. Lev could do that.
Yeah, you see something with all kinds of writing on it. What's the name?
But it's machine learning. They have to. It's very complicated to do it, to recognize the picture.
Because
Apple that is doing this, the CRC. But it's recognition. It's recognition. Recognition is very complex programming.
There's a lot of application. What we were complaining about. Recognition.
Yeah, but it doesn't take so long to you scroll through like this.
Then they have Hebrew writing.
You have a look.
Which means it's not kosher.
Yeah, it doesn't take too long.
But you have to know what
that's
saying.
What I say when I'm doing my arithmetic by hand on paper.
It's worth.
The children say what?
It's worth your soul, to have a quick look through this.
No, but
this.
I believe. Netocentric way they make improvement.
Okay, that could be improvements. No, they are improving.
Because it's not new technology to recognize image.
By the way, I'm not sure if it's completely open to the public, but the KVH, we have a list of approved certifiers that we use.
Mm.
Oh, that's for your internal purposes.
And some of it has specific stuff, like plant-by-plant basis, good for stuff produced in the U.S., not good for stuff, there's some specific...
Probably not open to the public, because it's very specific.
It's probably on
very,
the KVH web. Yeah.
But this is 100%, they've gone around and they've said, look, what are the KVH standards of kashrus? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are the standards? What will they not fall below? And what are the acceptable standards of CRC, which is acceptable by 95% of the population? Do the KVH standards align with our standards? And if it's yes, then they go on the list.
Right.
Which means that there are some. Look again, Earth K. Yeah, this one here is not on the KVH list.
Yeah,
it's not on the KVH list. But my rabbi friends who are very, very up and knowledgeable about kashrus, they believe that Earth K is fine, is acceptable.
Where are they from?
Across the board.
It means that if not found,
products.
They haven't distinguished between products.
But what is the idea? If this sign is not found in CRC,
this guy's got a heart K. Yeah, what is that?
LA
something rather. A heart K. Yeah, but you're driving around. Yeah, he didn't have time to look through the app. So he sent a picture to this, but he would have found it on the app as well.
Yeah.
You got the heart K.
Now, how do you...
Good. My friend Rabbi Isaacs gives it a thumbs up.
Now, how do you find these symbols from the symbols?
Well, they're on the symbols, Here's an interesting hashgacha here. What is this? Based in Minchas Chinuch.
And which one is that?
Startikov.
Oh, Tartikov?
Tartikov, yeah.
Oh. Let me see the...
CLC says it's recommended.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah.
It flipped, yeah.
I actually...
Which is acceptable by CLC?
Yeah, that's a Hasidish...
But...
I actually... The KVH subcontracted with them to do a run on Mizonos bagels in Brockton, Pas Yisrael and Mizonos. And each box I had to stamp with the Tartikov. Each box.
Nice.
Now this is, but if New York...
That was the Tartikov, that run you told me about.
I told you about that.
Yeah.
And I told you...
What is process of new organization?
10 minutes.
A new kashrus organization?
If they want to be included in this list, CRAC.
So you have to...
It's not simple.
It was Rabbi Krems who got... KVH was not on the list for many years it was not on the list. They had some areas that mm-hmm. were questionable. The kashrus was not up to par.
That was grandfathered in.
Before Rabbi Krems came in.
Right.
Rabbi Krems came along and basically
what
they did was they set their standards. Yeah, they decided, well, what are our standards going to be? Yeah, and where are we falling below the standards? Yeah, right now, and how? What are we going to be able to do to implement these higher standards?
You know what? One of the final sticking point was one where, you know, even though everything else was pretty much up to snuff, was certifying bakeries, like the Stop and Shop bakery and stuff like that, that were not doing. And the Rabbi Kaufman touched on this. That were not necessarily checking their fruit. They were not checking their strawberries and, you know, raspberries and stuff like that. So finally, the way we finally convinced the CRC was that we put up a disclaimer that any products that contain fresh fruit are not under KVH supervision.
Period.
And that was the final.
That was it.
That was the final thing.
It means
that there are certain things which were below the standard of the 95th percentile.
It means the CRC has some authority.
They can
invite
people
to check.
And they did. I mean, it's in Akasha's organization's best interest to get onto this list. You want to be acceptable by the CRC.
No, but CRC is else organization.
CRC is its own Akasha's organization. They have publicized, as Richard was saying, KVH also has their own list of acceptable. They have their own list because when KVH is cooking, you know, they're certifying plants, and plants are getting in ingredients from different certification. Well, mm-hmm. what do we accept? What ingredients are we going to accept? Mm-hmm. We're not giving hashgacha on, you know, on.
We're not
glycerin, you know, on kosher glycerin. There's no such thing as KVH kosher glycerin necessarily, right? So which kashrus are we going to rely on for the kosher glycerin? Yeah, so they have their own internal list. And this is basically the CRC's internal list that we accept anything for our own production. We accept anything from this list of organizations.
So
what they've done is they've made that internal list external. They've publicized their internal list.
But this covers the United States.
Possibly.
This covers the United States. Well, their list covers the United States and around the world. No,
but
international.
But Israel has probably everything.
Israel also. No, Israel is a mess.
Yeah,
Israel is a mess. A real mess.
Yeah. Israel mess?
Israel is a mess in terms of hashgacha.
Israel mess.
In terms of kosher, it is very, very, very troublesome.
Yeah, is biggest there example
are,
for
there
us
are half a dozen hashgachas in Eretz Israel which are accepted by everyone, maybe even less. All of the rest are very hit and miss.
Then sometimes they have some.
Yeah, the
Bedat Zayda
Charedis, Rav Rubin, Sheiris, you know, a couple more, but you know, some of the big kashrus organizations in Israel are not acceptable by the, you know, that extra. Now again, this 95%, 95% means that it includes from, you know, anything like marginally religious and observant and interested in kashrus, all the way up to, you know, the top. And then the last 5% at the top are not going to, right? But the mainstream, yeah, is probably going to be in that, you know, 50 or 60 percentile. The mainstream kashrus, the mainstream people who really care, yeah, not the people who, you know, don't really care so much, but the people who really care are going to be in that 50 percentile, yeah? That 50 percentile, they only rely on 5 hashgachas in Eretz Israel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a huge chasam sofer. Yeah, in chasam sofer, they've got two chug chasam sofer, Petach Tikva and Bnei Brak. Yeah, these are huge kashrus organizations. Two massive kashrus organizations in Eretz Israel. They're not acceptable.
Yeah,
they're not accepted by the 50 percentile. Mm-hmm. By all the rest of the people, you know, who. No, as long as it says kosher, it's fine for us. You know, they're fine with it. But among the people that care, It's not there on the list.
Right.
Yeah. So this is basically a list. We don't really care. Again, we don't really care about that. The other 50%. Other 50%, we don't really care about the kashas. We are interested the 45, the other 50% who are actually strict and actually care about what's going into their mouth. Yeah, do they accept it? And of that 50%, that's where we're going to say 95% of them actually do keep it. So again, as we're saying, it's really 99%, of people that actually of people that care about kashrus that is actually going to be eating it, because it's about the people that care that we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sorry for the digression.
Now we can start
this was not halachic reasoning, but I'm trying to reason with you about halacha. Okay, trying to reason with you that it's something which is so important.
One final
thing they have here is tevilas kelim. Yeah, there is a mitzvah in the Torah to immerse your vessels, new vessels which you buy from a non-Jew. Yeah, which have not been produced by a Jew. They need to have tevila. Yeah, this is a mitzvah, d'oraisa, a biblical mitzvah in the Torah, to immerse vessels in a mikveh, in a kosher mikveh. Over here in Malden, they're working on plans to build a mikveh for utensils. At the moment, the closest one is at Young Israel in Brookline. They also have in the Boston Rebbe's shul, they have a mikveh where you can immerse your vessels.
Right.
Yeah, what vessels require immersion? Yeah. What about your peeler? Yeah, your potato peeler. Does your potato peeler require immersion?
Why wouldn't it?
Corel. Does Corel require immersion?
Corel.
Yes, it does.
What is Corel?
Corel is like a very, very durable material. Not glass, but like a...
Okay, it's like a Pyrex sort of...
Ceramic?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they go through a list of the things which require tevila, and that's the end of our class.
Okay, now we can start.
No, but this is...